everyone, and welcome back into the pod. So far this week has been a little bananas, but I'm grateful for all the good things and grateful that I have a home and a car, and the weather is bananas as well, with the horrific rains all the time and then beautiful sun and 80 degrees and then back to the 50s and then back to the rain. It's like, okay, we did this to ourselves on this planet, and now we have to deal with the consequences. So you know what, it's all about rolling with the punches, and that's what I'm doing. Definitely this week, I'm headed to an appointment. The humidity and weird weather, and probably older than I should have kept it nail polish. I have to have my toes redone, and luckily I already had an appointment to have my nails done. So these are princess problems. These are princess problems, and I'm grateful to have princess problems, because those are the easy ones to deal with. But so many people have other things. So I just want to say that I've been listening to a great podcast. I kind of stumbled into it, actually. My listeners know that I am the daughter of a malignant narcissist mother, and I was in therapy when I was younger, because I got married the first time, really, because my dad had met my husband at the time. He was 19, I was 16. That's the year my dad had his heart attack. We were back here in New England for the summer. He came with me to visit my dad in the hospital while my dad was in hospital here. And then we went back to Montana, unfortunately. And, you know, I stayed in contact with him. Back then, it was just by long-distance phone call, but I had my own phone in my room, which I paid for, by the way. I paid for it to be installed, the second line. I paid for the phone bill every month. And that's how I stayed in touch with my boyfriend / future first husband. I sound like Elizabeth Taylor when I say that. I am married for 25 years, and I love my husband. This is my second husband, and I don't plan on having a third, because my husband is like a gift from God. He's amazing. And I don't want to get religious, but he's, I don't know. I swear my dad sent him, for real. Even though my dad never met him, he's my person. So, very lucky about that as well. But I stumbled onto this Facebook group for daughters of narcissistic mothers, because it is a huge problem. And I think I've said in other podcasts, and I don't want to like keep repeating myself, which I'm sure I am going to do right now. So heads up on that. But having a narcissistic parent is not like, oh, your mother likes clothes and makeup and she stands in front of the mirror all the time. That's not being a narcissist. That's being a little vain, maybe, but it's not being a narcissist. Having a parent who's a malignant narcissist, ooh, it's a borderline personality disorder, man, and it is very, very damaging to all of the people around the narcissist. I can tell you that for sure. I'm also paying attention to the state trooper that's in the lane next to me. don't want a ticket for anything. We're crawling, so we won't. It's definitely not a speeding ticket. So I just want to just briefly say that when you hear me say my mother was a malignant narcissist, this is not some little fly-by-night thing that like, oh, you should be over that. No, no. Malignant narcissist parents are, it's mirrored in our politics with a particular person, except it's on a personal scale. They don't have the ability to love, to have empathy. They are literally and figuratively all about themselves. And I don't mean, again, vanity or time. I mean all of it. All of it. For instance, if you recall the news story from years back where a mother of young children drove her car into a lake with her children strapped in their car seats. She got out and she let her children die. She did that, she said, because the man she was seeing didn't like kids. Now that is a very, very violent, horrific example of a narcissistic parent. But it's a very clear example. So, there's your example. I'm sorry to give you that, but that's the clearest one I can always think of, unfortunately. My mother was the same. She did not care that my stepfather was abusing us in a bunch of different ways. She knew, 100%. I know she knew. For sure I know that. And didn't care. Did not care. As long as she was getting her needs met, didn't matter. Whatever. If he had come back, he used to make us cut wood in the woods. And I mean real woods. Not woods like here in Massachusetts. Like for real. Deep woods. If he had come back and said, I don't know, the kids, you know, they walked away and I don't know where they are. My mother would have been like, all right, okay. Like, there would have been no, I have to find my kids. She would have been like, all right, well, you know, they made that choice to walk away. Even if he had, like, you know, chopped us up in little pieces and left us, she wouldn't have cared. So when I found this Facebook group, it was super enlightening. I was feeling like I might want to go back into therapy for a while just for like a refresh. But I have to say, being part of this group on Facebook, as weird as that might sound, and finding the podcast as well has been amazing. The podcast also has a Facebook group, so I subsequently became a member of that. And it's been amazing because reading other people's stories, being able to comment and give what advice I can has been valuable to me and I hope to others. And the comments that I have gotten on my comments have suggested that. And I'm grateful for that because it's wonderful to be able to help others. You know that you're healed or you know, we're never 100% healed, but you know that you're definitely healing when you can help other people that have been in your situation. And I'm grateful for that. I'm 100% grateful for that. You know, it's like this. People struggle because they feel alone. And you know, when you feel alone, it's not a good feeling. You think that only your problems are only yours. And, you know, I know it seems like there's a bunch of a million groups and therapy and group therapy and, you know, just a million different ways or things for people to talk about their issues. But you know what? Some people still feel alone. And that's really hard. One of the things I know that people feel alone with is dealing with their elder parents. You know, there's tons of support for dealing with your teenagers. There's tons of support for mothers of toddlers and babies. There's tons of support for elders in their elder years. But there's not a lot of support for us in the middle dealing with our elder parents. And I think it's really important to remind people that you're not alone. In my studio, we have a lot of clients and staff who are dealing with this right now. They're in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and they're dealing with their elder parents who are in their 70s, 80s, 90s. And their decisions, the children's decisions to retire, are affected by their elder parents. Their children's decision to retire and stay in a particular area are tied to their parents. You know, it's a situation where they feel stuck in that middle ground, and I can certainly relate. My mother-in-law lived to be into her 90s. Thankfully, we were able to get her into a wonderful nursing home situation Probably a couple years after she really needed it, but we got her in there. And she was in there for about 7 years before she passed. And she got wonderful care for the most part. We really didn't have any major complaints. It was always clean. There was always tons of staff. But it was hard. It was very difficult to navigate that situation. And I leaned on others who work with elders or had dealt with their own elders. And I think that we all have to remember that talking to our circle, whether it be friends, acquaintances, workmates, extended family, etc., is so important. And to our younger generations, folks in your 20s and 30s, what I see is there's a little bit of a gap between us Gen Xers and Boomers and Gen Y and Gen Z. I get that. There's always a separation of maybe a lack of understanding or different understanding between generations. But you know what? I think it's important to look to your elders to help you navigate life. And I probably didn't think that when I was in my 20s and 30s. I was dealing with a lot of therapy and stuff from my childhood. So I think I did seek out older friends, coworkers, acquaintances, because I didn't really have a mother figure, because I didn't really have a mother. And of course, my dad passed when I was only 16. So I was missing that as well. And I was really helped in my life in significant ways by the older generation from me. And I would encourage our 20-somethings and 30-somethings. I know your life is completely different from ours. We didn't have to deal with the pandemic. We didn't have to deal with a huge load of education debt, which I know there are a million ways to talk about that, and that's not what this is about, but it's really stupid. Like, why are universities and colleges charging this much money? I can see your Ivy Leaguers. If you get into that private school, you know what you're in for. Like, my goddaughter is in med school. She knew what she was in for. That's a choice. But as far as you're getting a liberal arts degree and you have $100,000 worth of debt, what the fuck? Seriously, that is just dumb. That needs to be handled. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. All I know is it's stupid. So we know we didn't have to deal with that. And we know that you are. And we have absolutely should help our younger generations. But our younger generations should also know that we can help you not only with stuff like that, but also with life stuff. And there should be a course. You know, we're all talking about now courses in college about budgeting and finance. And I think that's absolutely needed. How to budget in your family, childcare stuff, you know, parenting. Yes, we at Home Ec, how to sew a hem. That's, you should still learn how to do that, maybe. But you should also be taught how to deal with your finances, because a lot of us in the gap are not that great at it. And if we had had that in school, we would be better at it. Especially since, you know, our retirement is going to be way different than our parents, just like our kids' retirement is going to be way different than ours. And that's normal progression. But again, if we all band together and help each other, that's kind of where it's at. And that's kind of what we do at my studio, is if you hear someone saying, oh my God, you know, my dad is living on the Cape and he's in his 90s and he's physically fine, mentally most of the time. I'm getting concerned though. So we're going to have to talk about selling the house or keeping it and moving him into a placement, you know, and jump in and help if you're able, if you have some good feedback or whatever. And if you're a younger person, know that that's coming. Know that that's coming for you. And hopefully, being that we're the parents right now, Gen X and Boomers, we can prepare ourselves, keep our health better, mentally and physically health, and set ourselves up better so our kids won't have to go through what we're going through with our elder parents. And why is this a topic? Well, because you know what? What I'm seeing in our government right now is so much stupidity. Well, you know, we want to get rid of him because he worked with the other side. The other side? Come on. Listen, we can disagree about how our country should run. We can all have different ideas. But the best times in our country are when we worked together. Everybody didn't get everything they wanted. There was compromise. And compromise is something that we all have to do in adulthood. Now, when you're a two-year-old, you don't have to compromise. If you're screaming for chicken nuggets from age 2 to 5 and that's all you'll eat, your parents are probably going to get you chicken nuggets because you're 2 or 3 or 4 years old and you're screaming and throwing a fit. And your parents are just going to give you chicken nuggets knowing that you will not forever only eat chicken nuggets until you're 100. It will change, but they're going to deal with this phase you're going through right now. We as adult people should not be going through a temper tantrum phase. We just shouldn't. And working together in our social networks, and I don't mean Facebook, I mean actual real social behavior, family, friends, work, whatever. And working together in our government is what we need to do. Period. The end. That is the only way that our country and all of us can get better. It's the only way. You cannot stand in your views and opinions and scream at the top of your lungs that I'm going to fire everybody who tries to work with everybody else. If you're trying to compromise, I'm not going to work with you. That is a very immature way to be. Super immature. It's emotionally immature. It's professionally immature. It's like people who gossip all the time. They like it. They like the drama. They like to talk about people. They like to go behind the back. They like to do all those things. Emotionally immature. Immature. The fit that's being thrown on one side of the House of Representatives in Washington this week is so fucking immature. It's disgusting and it's embarrassing and it pisses me off because we have a lot of things going on in our country. People need help with housing. We need to make sure that all of our children in America are fed. We do not need to be listening to the rantings and ravings of a handful of immature little babies who are whiny and throwing a fit because they're not getting their way 24/7. They only want to eat chicken nuggets and they're going to scream and yell and have a fit if they don't get them. And that's gross. That's gross. No adult should be acting like that. It's disgusting. And I think we can all agree that it is disgusting. And when we go to vote next year, or if you have local elections or state elections in the interim, please remember that we're all here to kind of do this thing together on this planet. You know, we've got to have climate change work. We've got to have, economic work and social work. And the only way to get anything done in your own house, your own family, your own town, your own state, your own country is to work together. Again, not everybody can get their way. Malignant narcissists like my mother literally will make your life hell, beat you, abuse you mentally and physically if they don't get their way. That's why it's such a trigger for me when it comes to our country, because I see it as these people are narcissistic, thinking they can get their own way all of the time, and that's just not realistic. It's also not healthy. It's emotionally immature, as I said. So don't support people in your life, whether they be in your family, whether they be at work, because you can encounter narcissists at work too, okay, which is a huge problem, especially if they're your boss, or your country. Don't vote for people who are going to say, me, 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 I'm going to throw a fit if I don't get my way. Guys, listen, all of this is unhealthy for all of us. All of us. Nobody gets their way all the time, nor should anybody.